sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark street shine the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. Oh, morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, peace to men on earth. Verse 4. Oh, holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen. All right. Dustin and Robin are going to sing a special for us, so and then we'll have the message.
Still the greatest story. kids, wonderful kids. Sorry to see them. I mean, I love the fact that they're in Bible school, but we do miss them here. We really, really do. They're good, good kids. Right now, speaking of good kids, I have a good boy here. Amen. I love him. I'll tell you, he just blesses my heart. That's all I can say about it.
Thanks, Bob.
Bless you. You got your
Amen. Yep, I'm on. Thank you for that wonderful special. I get asked to do a lot of things, but singing a special is never one of them. Amen. But I praise the Lord. And Pastor Page, thank you for your faithfulness. Amen. It gives me hope. He is worthy. I know it must be hard, but I'm thankful for your willingness to listen to the Spirit and to allow Him to guide you. And you and your precious wife are in our prayers. It's good to have the visitors, Brother Darren, amen, and his wife and kids, and then our future Rock of Ages missionary, Miss Sarah. but it's good to see the family here, amen. Praise the Lord. Another Brother Darren, amen, hallelujah. And Dustin back there, the young fellow off of Bible College, Rock of Ages. Say it five times a night before you go to sleep. I need somebody to go with me. I need somebody. I'm going to Korea and Cambodia all by myself again. I just need a young man that'll come along, and I can train, and who can tell? So pray about it. Who could tell? Amen. It'd be a wonderful opportunity. But we do praise the Lord, Pop. Thank you for what I call him Pop. Amen. I guess it's Pastor Pop this morning. My mom, my grandma, bless her heart, I love my grandma Rosie. She wrote notes on everything. She used to send me letters when I was in the Air Force, and they came in yellow envelopes this big. She literally would write out everything that took place that day, and I'd get them for a month, month and a half. It was incredible. Well, Mom found a little note that that Rosie, we always called her Rosie, she had written one time. I guess it was when my little brother Mark and I was out there, and she wrote down, "Mike says that John, my dad, is called Pop. He's not a boy like me and Mark." So I've been calling him Pop ever since I was a kid, I guess. I always thought I called him Dad, but I started a few years ago calling him Pop. But I'm proud of him. Amen. This is his third church. He started to study for the pastorate when he was 57. Took his first church when he was 59, soon to turn 60. And pastored Calvary Baptist in Crestline for about, I think, 9 years. And then 6 over in Ashland here at the Ashland Baptist Temple, and has been helping Pastor Page for a while. Amen. But the Lord has brought him in now as a senior pastor with a burden and a desire to find a young man, a young man that's studying in Bible college that will be willing to come back and take a small work. I'm not trying to be the Holy Spirit. I'm just playing around today a little bit. Amen. But I love this little church. I love little churches. We raised our family in a little church. There's something about a little church that big churches are fine. You can easily get lost in a big church. I attend Franklin Road Baptist Church. We have about 6 different churches inside the church. You've got the north on the top church. You've got the north in the middle church. You got the north on the left of the balcony church. Then you got the down, same on the downside. There's just little sections where everybody always goes to their same spot and sits, and it's just like little churches. But the Lord's using the big church as well. Franklin Road Baptist Church, my pastor, Dr. Norris, is a great man of God. We're seeing some great things take place there. Those of you that may not know, I am a missionary with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. Amen. I've been serving with the ministry now for a little over 18 years. February, it will be 19 that I surrendered. And by God's good hand of grace, we get to travel the world and tell people about Christ. So it is a blessing. This morning, I'll tell you like Elizabeth Taylor told her last husband, "I'll not keep you long." And I just want to try and give you a thought this morning. I thought that was quite a bit, old Elizabeth Taylor. But Zsa Zsa Gabor actually had more husbands than Elizabeth Taylor did. She said that she was a great housekeeper. She said every time she divorced a man, she kept his house. But anyhow, that's almost as bad as the woe is me joke, right? Anyhow, take your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter number 1. We're going to look at the We're going to look at the Christmas story for just a minute out of the book of Matthew. I want to give you a thought that the Lord gave me. I just try and mind Him in my studies. I read a lot. I study a lot in the mornings. I love the morning time. And I'm not a conventional preacher, if you will. I have a hard time grabbing 3 points in a poem. I just kind of, Dr. Garris used to say he'd just get a thought and run with it until the Lord was done. I try and make sure that I just let the Lord have His will in anything that I say and do. But this morning, if you found your place and you're able to stand with me, let's stand and we'll begin reading in Matthew's Gospel in verse 18. And the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Now I have a Cambridge Bible. I'm not sure if what your Bible, I'm sure it says the same if you have a King James. But mine is in all capital letters, the name Jesus. Amen? Yeah. It's in all capital letters. I do a lot of writing. I write devotions, and I'm working on some different things. And I've always, of course, capitalized the Jesus, and I've always capitalized Him and the different letters that, or words describing Him. But in the recent days, I've started capitalizing the entire name. Of course, then you just drop the case size a little bit in the writing. But I've noticed here in this particular time when they called Him Jesus, it's just all caps, didn't even drop the font size. He deserves that, amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, this morning, help me tonight, this morning, Father, to just be a blessing to these dear people. Lord, we've come to honor You today on the eve of the day celebrated in this country and around the world of Your birth. Lord, we're thankful that You recorded it in the Scripture. Lord, that history has proven it. Father, that archaeological digs, Lord, stand fast to prove that Your word is true. And Lord, proof in the hearts of men and their changed lives, Lord, in the directions that You've taken them, is proof that You are who You say You are. Now, Lord Jesus, let Your name be honored this morning. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Thank you and be seated. A few things hit me this morning, and I'll just give them to you and let you chew on them for a little bit. The verse, chapter 1, verse 22, really always sticks out to me. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet." Amen. Everything Christ did was just to prove that what He said He was going to do in the Old Testament, He did it. Had He missed one, He'd not be God. He fulfilled every single jot, every single tittle, everything. Now, Mary was the only human being that ever lived that carried God in her heart, but also carried her in His womb. The only person that ever had the privilege to do that. Her body wrapped the King of Kings and delivered Him to the world on the first Christmas morning. Her wrapping was a righteous life as well as Joseph's, but it was a willing heart as well as Joseph's was, and it was an obedience to His call. Dr. John Bishop, a good friend of mine, I don't know if you've ever heard him, he had what was called bacterial meningitis, and at age 47, his entire mind was wiped out, just wiped everything out. Had to learn to walk, had to learn to talk, had to learn everything. He had to learn that he was married, and he had to, his wife, Miss Donna, was a blessing to him and really carried him through that whole thing. He realized after reading the Scriptures that he didn't need to get saved again, amen? That when he was saved, God did it forever. But Dr. Bishop was on an airplane one time, and he tells great stories. He's an amazing man of God. But he was on an airplane one time, and there were some ladies behind him that was talking about abortion and their right to kill their own children that would be in their womb. Well, Dr. Bishop listened for a while and not able to escape the conversation. And finally, after the plane leveled off, he got up and he went back to the ladies and said, "Ladies, I couldn't help but to hear your conversation." He said, "Do you know why us Christians do not believe in abortion?" And of course, they were very kind and listened. And he said, well, he said, I want you to know that all through our Bible, it never mentions one woman that was pregnant. Not once. He says, every time the Bible deals with a lady that is pregnant, as we say, it always says she was with child.
Amen.
And it kind of, no doubt, I wasn't there, but just that, even that thought must have caused those ladies to think, amen, as he used Scripture to do so. Well, Matthew chapter 1, we see that Mary was with child. I thought, you know what, I'm gonna look at this 25 for just a minute. I like numbers. Numbers they're just really amazing. I got in trouble one time. I preached the John 3:16s and 17s of the Bible. I was accused of being one of those men that says that the King James Bible supersedes the originals, and it was as if I was claiming that it was far above any of that. And I said, no, sir. I said, I just happen to think when God puts numbers in the Bibles, we can look at them, amen, and there's nothing wrong with them. His word is pure, and it will stand preserved forever. But I got to looking that Matthew chapter number 1 has 25 verses in it. I thought that was interesting. That was just at the very close of my study this morning as I was rehearsing it. And I thought, boy, that's interesting. And the very last word in the book of Matthew, in chapter number 25, again, and Joseph, he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and she called his name Jesus. Chapter number 1 and verse number 25. Now, 25 times in the King James Bible, throughout the Bible, only 25 times that phrase "with child" is used. I thought, how interesting. Well, I began to study yesterday, and I began to look at the thought about with child, and I thought about the number 25. So I studied exactly what number 25 meant. It's always interesting to find this, what it means. 25 in the Bible symbolizes grace upon grace. Isn't that amazing? Grace upon grace. It's composed of 20, meaning redemption in the Bible, and 5, of course, we know is grace, or grace multiplied. 5 times 5 is 25. It's really cool stuff when you study your Bible. There, we'll never be able to exhaust the truth that God gives us in this thing. It's completely and totally connected, every part of it. Well, grace truly is a wonderful word. And as we think of the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, on this Christmas Eve, think what took place on that glorious birthday. Just think about it. First of all, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He said, "Thy Word is truth," amen, and everything that He said is truth. God came to us to give us grace so we could go to Him. Isn't that cool? He stepped out of glory so we could go into glory. What a Savior He is. And of His fullness we have received, and grace for grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He came to fulfill His word, amen, as He did, and to give us grace so we can tell others of His grace. That's what He's done. It's absolutely amazing. Number 3, of His own will, He begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creature. You realize He fulfilled over 365 messianic prophecies? Over 365. That's one for every day, amen. And one writer where I gained my research says if you want to include Psalm chapter 21, the entire Psalm, he says that'll take care of the leap year and give us 366. Jesus came to the earth on the first Christmas as a gift to the world, but He came prepared to give the gift of grace to all who accept. Now, grace really is a wonderful word, and I think maybe every one of us in here knows at least one definition of it. But it does have more than one meaning. And when you look in Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, which I really believe that the Lord used Mr. Webster, many, many, many of his words are given biblical applications. But in the same sentence of his definition, he gives two different meanings. First, we know it's the free, unmerited love and favor of God. Aren't you glad that we don't have to earn our salvation? I'm just glad that it was a free gift. I'm glad that grace was gifted to me. If it wasn't gifted or given to me, it would no longer be grace. It would become works. The only thing I deserve according to the Scripture is death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, I kind of like this thought. I was in South Georgia, well, I guess mid to South Georgia, and they got some a young fellow there that was teaching Sunday school one day, and they get kind of fired up down there, and he got to go, and he says, "I'm kind of sick and tired of people saying I'm just an old sinner saved by grace." He said, "I used to be a sinner, but every time God refers to a sinner saved by grace, now he calls him a saint." So we're really a saint saved by grace. Amen. No longer am I, no longer does the Lord Jesus Christ see my sin. Now I am still a sinner. I'm in the flesh, but thank God he doesn't see me that way. He sees me as a saint. He says this, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." This is Paul, "how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." He took our place. And thank God it didn't end with his death, the Bible says, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day. Why? According to the Scriptures. Another one of those messianic prophecies. But secondly, grace also means this, the spring and the source of all the benefits men receive from God. The spring and the source of all the benefits men receive from God. You know, it doesn't take you long as you're reading your Bible to find out if you have any prosperity at all that God says, "I gave you prosperity." It doesn't take you long to find out that no matter what abilities and talents you have, you might want to be careful trying to claim them because it's God that gave it to you. Amen. Now, I'm thankful that God's given me the ability to be kind of one of those guys that's a jack of all trades and a master of none. I can do just about anything and everything, and I thank the Lord for it. I pulled into the parking lot this morning, and I went to shut my truck off, and the key was hung up, and I thought, "Oh, what's going on?" And I wiggled it around and tried to get it out, and it finally came out, but it was still on. And I thought, "Oh man, my battery's gonna run down. What in the world am I gonna do?" So I thought, well, I went back to the back real quick, and I got a shot of WD-40 and stuck it in there and squirted it and tried to work it again. Still wasn't working. So I came on into church, and my mind reels as I begin to think what's gonna take place next to get this thing fixed. I'm not much about taking a car or a vehicle to a shop. I just like to fix it. Well, then I got to thinking, well, maybe when I got in the car, my daughter had driven it my daughter had driven it last night, and she had the tilted wheel flipped all the way up to the top, and I had pulled it back down into place. So I wondered, I wonder if maybe I just need to move that wheel rack back around again. Brother Darren, you saw me when I got to go outside to my truck for a minute, went back outside, moved the steering wheel up and down a couple times, stuck the key back in, good as gold. Amen? Now, Bezalel was given by God all wisdom and knowledge to build the temple. All wisdom and knowledge that I have to do anything, I'm not going to claim it. It comes from somebody far above who this cowboy is right here. It comes from God in heaven. I'm thankful he's given me the ability to do things, to work on our house, to work on our vehicles. He's just given me those abilities, and I'm thankful for it. I'm glad I don't try and claim my prosperity. Well, number one, I'm not rich, but amen, as far as money goes. But I'm very wealthy as far as it goes in the eyes of God. I got a wonderful a wonderful family, a great mom and dad that loves God. I got some beautiful kids, a couple grandbabies. Hallelujah. My reward for not killing my kids. Mark Twain said that. I didn't, but I'll claim it. Amen. And it's just an absolute blessing to know that who I am is because who he is. And who you are today is because of who he is. But I'm thankful that grace means the spring and the source of all the benefits men receive from God. Now, there's a lot of benefits that we have. I began to think as I sat down there, and I began to just write down some of these little thoughts. And before I knew it, guess how many I had? 25. He said, "Let there be light," yet he is the light of the world. Amen. He spoke the stars into existence, threw them out in the night sky, hung them on nothing, yet he's the bright and morning star. He gave Satan power to deceive, yet he rebuked the demons, and they fled. He came as a babe, breathing the air he created, yet he breathed the breath of life into Adam. Amen. He could have erased the entire creation and started over, yet for one man and his family, Noah, he gave his life. He was thirsty, yet he is the living water. He was weary, yet he gives sleep to his servants. He slept through the storm, yet rebuked it at the disciples' request. He was hungry, yet he fed thousands. He paid his taxes, yet owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. He had to borrow a colt for a triumphal entry, but has enough horses stabled in heaven for his return with the saints. He lived a Jew's life, yet the Jews are his chosen people, used by Satan to engineer his death. He walked on the tempestuous sea, but yet moments later he commanded it, and it was calm. He prayed while hearing the prayers of mankind. Could you imagine the baby Jesus heard every prayer the saints were praying? Hallelujah, it's enough to make a Presbyterian shout. He was judged by Pilate, but he's the judge of all mankind. He hung between heaven and earth in total darkness, yet he is the light of the world. He could have called a legion of angels to command them, but he commanded them to stand down in order to fulfill his word. Thank God our military's been commanded to stand up and go fight. Hallelujah. No longer will they stand down when the enemy comes. He was taunted to reveal his power on the cross, yet he died his death to keep his word. He died for the sins of mankind, yet never once did he transgress. Instead of killing his enemy, he saved him and used him to write over half of the New Testament of the Bible. He was laid in a tomb that was covered by a stone, yet he is the chief cornerstone. His death destroyed death, yet a life will spring from his death to all who accept. He will come again, and all will know who he is. He is the I Am, fill in the blanks. He could tell the world of his grace, yet he decided to leave that up to us. He could just pop around and tell everybody who he is, and some would believe, some wouldn't, because they didn't believe when they saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. Some would believe, some wouldn't. But instead, he decided to use changed lives, men that could testify what God did for him. Can I tell you this morning, his resources are endless. Amen. His resources are totally endless. And he said that we can have them at his beck and call. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, we learn of the riches of his goodness. Oh, despise thou the riches of his goodness. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. Boy, people get a little bit nervous when you start using that word repentance. Some are preaching out there that repentance is a part of salvation. My Savior used it in his very first preaching message. Amen. He came out of the wilderness after 40 days of fasting and being tempted by God or by the devil. And he would stand and preach to the Galileans, "Repent ye and believe the gospel. Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now, repentance isn't really a hard word to figure out. It's actually a pretty easy word to figure out. It's when you realize you can't get to heaven on your own, when you realize that you can't do good works on your own, when you realize that you don't have a whole lot of control over your flesh, and you realize if you let God come in, He'll do it through you. Amen? Repentance is just saying, "God, I want you in my life so I can live a life that's pleasing unto you." Had a preacher friend once preached a message. Old John Jenkins up in Upper Michigan. He preached on repentance. What a God is the message. Boy, just research that. If you can find that message on the internet, what a God it is. Absolutely amazing. He said, repentance is God's part of salvation. Faith is ours. Our part is faith believing in the gospel and we get the eternal life. But repentance, God gets his child back. No longer does God have to look down and wonder whether or not you're going to do right, because He knows that if you have a desire to do right and you stay close to Him, He'll help you do it. But without that desire, we work in the prisons and we work there, and so many times these men say they're saved. And what'd you do to get saved? Well, I prayed and asked Jesus to forgive me. And it ends right there, really. And he's still living the same old life that he used to live without a convicted heart. You see, the Bible says godly sorrow worketh repentance. If a man's not sorry for his sin, a man's going to keep on doing them. If you don't have some kind of godly sorrow inside your heart for the sins that you're committing, then I really wonder whether or not you're truly born again, or you're hanging your hat on some little prayer you said. Salvation comes when you realize that God's holy and He cannot stand a sinful life. And when you realize that you can be holy by inviting Him into your heart to not only forgive you, but to help you live a life that's pleasing unto Him. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, we have the riches of His glory, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I'm thankful today that I got the Spirit of God living inside of me. Amen. And you can either reserve Him and hold Him back and not allow Him to work in you, or you can just cut Him loose. Hallelujah. I like cutting Him loose. It's amazing when you just let the Spirit of God work in your heart and you let the Lord guide your feet, guide your heart, guide your mouth. And you'll be amazed where He'll take you. Amen. I'm telling a little story about that a fella that was a Korean veteran back in the fellowship hall a little bit ago. It was the Lord that directed me over to that man to shake his hand and to thank him for his service in the Korean War. It was the Lord that told me to ask him about his soul. And it was the Lord that gave me that wonderful illustration about the power of prayer. Amen. He prayed as he led his men to go back into battle. He prayed, God, I remember all of the men were lives that was on that boat with the Apostle Paul. You spared every one of them. And he said, God, I want you to give me every man I lead. I don't want one to die. Led his entire troops into the Korean War for 2 years and never once lost one of his soldiers, and he believes truly in prayer. It was the Holy Ghost of God that allowed me to meet that man. And that Spirit works on the inside of us, and we can have the riches of His glory. I don't want to touch His glory. I don't like a whole lot of accolades. I don't like to be introduced as some kind of great preacher and all that stuff. I just as soon say, come preach, and I'll do my best to glorify His holy name. I want Him to have the glory. I want Him to have the praise. I want Him to have it all. I'll be happy being a doorkeeper in heaven if that's what He'll let me do. In Ephesians 1 and verse 7, it's His riches of His grace. Amen. It is the riches of His grace, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Redemption's cool. The forgiveness of sins, pretty cool too. And it all comes according to the riches of His grace, the gift of God. The gift of God given to us on that day when He was born. God will either respond to your sin with judgment or respond to your prayer with His grace. Amen. In Hebrews 4:16, the Bible says that we've been granted permission to enter into His presence, known as nothing other than the throne of grace. A place that we can go where the devil and his little demons are not allowed to be. A place where we can go into the very presence of God and let our requests be made known, that we may obtain mercy and find the spring and the source of all His benefits. Find His grace to help in the time of need. Well, it might just be that God chose December 25th to celebrate the birth of Jesus because of His multiplied grace. Multiplied grace. It's my hope and prayer that we include Him in our festivities in the next couple of days. It's very easy to get wrapped up in all the commercialism of it. And I know preachers say that all the time. And it's fun to buy your kids gifts. And my wife's bought our kids all kinds of gifts. And I've got my family gifts. I've bought things for my wife. And we've got things for mom and dad. And they've got things for us. And that part's all really, really good. But I hope and pray that in our own hearts, in our own minds, as we try and decide what we're going to do tomorrow with our own lives, that we'll just include that grace, and that we'll understand that grace comes from God, and that God decided to come to this earth, and He came to this earth because He loved His creation so much. Now, if He was the type of... Do you ever remember those little dolls that you press the button and it says, I love you, I love you, I love you? That little doll doesn't love you, does it? No, it doesn't. God came to this earth and showed us His love. And if we're going to love Him, we're going to have to choose to love Him back. Amen. And when we choose in a world where all the fleshly desires are out there, when we choose to love God instead of loving the world, then we don't have to press a button and say, I love you. It's showing Him naturally that we do love Him. And that's what He wants. He wants us to show Him that we love Him. And I hope we take time to praise Him and to thank Him for His marvelous, matchless gift of grace. It's incredible. It's not popular. Neither is Israel. Isn't it amazing that 120 countries are voting against Jerusalem being the capital of Israel? Well, it's really simple. If you just open up your Bible, you find out it was the capital. Why can't it remain the capital? I mean, it's very simple. But yet they hated the hate the Jews. It's always been God's chosen people. Why He chose them, I'm not sure, but really doesn't matter. He chose them. It's His rules. He chose them. And then He chose to come through the lineage of the Jews to become our Savior. Why? Because He knew the world would hate us. And if He wanted to be, if He wanted to have the love that He requires, then we're going to have to choose something that's not really popular. It's not really popular to go to church on Sunday morning, is it? Look around. This isn't the only church that struggles, Brother Page. I travel the country. Many of them look just like this. Many of the big churches, I think of Tom Malone's great church once up in Pontiac, Michigan. Today it doesn't even exist. It's gone. No more school, no more church. Churches all over America are closing. Why? It's not popular. But it is in my heart. And I got the riches of His grace in my heart. I got the riches of His glory in my heart. Amen. And I've got the riches of His goodness in my heart. And I don't plan on giving any of those gifts away. I plan on telling people about them, but they belong to me. And I'm going to enjoy them. And can I tell you, life gets simple when we just let the grace of God control our lives. Life becomes very simple. I came in and sat down. I didn't get mad because my truck didn't start. Or my truck, the key was messed up. And it's very easy to get upset and discouraged. But I stood back in the back and said, Lord, not sure what you're up to. But go ahead. You can take my old truck. It's only got 531,000 miles on it. So I guess the ignition switch could break if it wants to. And I couldn't fuss. But instead of getting mad and all upset, I just let the Lord have it. And amen. And WD-40 and a couple movements of the wheel. And the Holy Ghost of God. And we're back on track, ready to go. It's the grace of God. If you've never experienced the true grace of God, then today's a wonderful day to do it. I know we're in a room with a small group, a group of people that were raised in church, and a great preacher that's preached salvation all around the world, a couple of missionaries in the back, a godly father that's got their kids and no doubt trained your kids in the church and thankful for it. But we're in a place where if you've never experienced the true grace of God, you may be wondering completely what I'm talking about. But it's so simple. All you got to do is take it. I've got all kinds of gifts underneath the tree, but in order for them to become mine, I'm going to have to take them. I'm going to have to open them up and put them in the back of the old Chevy and haul them to the house. You see, a gift's only a gift if it's received. A gift may be bought for you, but it's no good to you unless you've received it. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Receiving that grace, that gift, is simple. The willingness to turn your life to Jesus, tell Him that you're not worthy of His love and His grace, because I know I'm not. Thank Him for the ability to give it to us and ask Him to come into your heart and life to forgive you and to help you lead a life that's pleasing unto Him. If you've never done that, then today's the day. Maybe you've just got some things in your heart that you could be saying to the Lord. Now, Lord, I haven't really been exercising my faith like I should. I want you to come into our lives, to my life, and help me to be that good, godly person that you'd have me to be. Whatever it is, I believe on December 24th, the eve of the birthday of our Savior, I think it'd be a good idea to give your life back to Him. Amen. And I hope and pray that you'll do it. I hope and pray that you all have a wonderful time with your family. That's really what it's about. Come back tonight. I don't know if you can. I'm going to preach a message on the family. I can't wait. The Lord, I worked on it a couple hours this morning. I love getting up early and studying. And the Lord's given me some different thoughts on it. Then the New Year's Eve, I get to preach over at Lake Milton Baptist Church. And again, this morning I was studying on how do the Jews celebrate New Year's. It's really amazing. It's really amazing. Just get in this old book. It's incredible. And let the Lord guide your life. I'm going to pray. And then, Father, you go ahead and come on up. And take the rest of the service. Lord Jesus, I thank you again for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for your word and the privilege to preach your word. And Lord, I'm thankful for the great heritage that's in this room today. Now, Lord, if there's someone in the room that's not saved, I pray that they would give their life to Christ today. Maybe there's some that's, Lord, not been living right or doing right. Whatever the need is today, I pray that they would understand that that's why you came, to give grace. Grace, Lord, the free forgiveness of sins, but grace, the spring and the source of all the benefits, the forgiving power, Lord, the restoration power, the power to just walk back into the family and take your place as if you've never left. Lord, I pray that you'd please just help us today and help us always, Lord, to have praise on our lips for you. I want to thank you, Lord, for giving me not only the privilege of being your child, but I want to thank you today for allowing me the privilege to stand behind your pulpit and declare your goodness to many, many different countries. I pray, Father, for each one of our partners around the world today as they stand and proclaim the gospel. I pray for the inmates that will hear the message. Lord, I pray for the children, Lord, that will hear. I thank, Lord, of our preachers around the world that you'd encourage them today. Lord, I pray for our military this morning as many of them are away from home and away from their families on this Christmas day. I pray that your grace would touch their hearts and help them to be comforted in this time. Lord, I pray for their salvation. I pray for our president, his salvation, Lord. I pray for all of our leaders that they would understand, Lord, if we'll lead by the Bible, if we'll lead by your principles, Lord, we can't go wrong. Lord, I know the world hated you, but yet, Lord, I want to tell you I love you. And I want to thank you again for Calvary in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Michael. If we'd all stand, bow our heads. Just no one looking around. I want to ask you this morning. You heard a great message there about God's grace. And I wonder this morning, have you accepted the grace that he offers? Can you remember a time when you've asked Christ to come into your life? Can you remember a time when you were truly sorry for your sins? Because without repentance, there is no salvation. We know that. But I'd ask you tonight, or this morning, as we stand here, I'd ask you just to search your heart this morning and see where you stand in the Lord's work. And once again, are we walking worthy? Are we walking worthy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We're just going to do another verse, but I'd ask you this morning, if God's nudging your heart about anything, maybe this morning you just need to come and have a little talk with Christ this morning. You know he's always there, and he wants to hear from us. All right, well, amen. What a blessing it was to have everybody here this way. Yeah, I mean, it really was. All these folks and their children and their children's children. It's just a blessing to me to see families and churches. It really, really is. We're going to close with prayer here in just a second, but don't forget tonight we're having our candlelight service. It won't be too long. Michael's going to preach a short devotion. I'm going to do a short devotion. We're going to light some candles, sing some songs, and praise God for being our Savior. Amen. Brother Dustin, why don't you close in a word of prayer for us, please?